We've been looking through stories of Jesus and how he interacts with the people around him and looking at what Jesus sees. And this morning we're going to continue that. We kind of highlighted the fact that we essentially kind of frame in our mind those people. And those people can take on all different shapes and forms. We looked at people outside the church, people that we have a tendency to just overlook and disregard. We've looked at people that don't seem to fit in with the framework that we look like. This morning, we can't look at the things that Jesus sees without kind of taking an internal look as well. So this morning we're going to look at the story of Nathanael. This is a hard one for me because I've been this guy. And let's read. This is what it looks like. So this is what we want to keep in our frame of mind as we're looking through this passage of Scripture. What does he see? What does Jesus see? Let's read together. If you don't have your Bible with you, it's John chapter 1. In the Pew Bible, it's page 1028. It starts there. It's the story of Nathanael at the end of John chapter 1. So the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethesda. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask that as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, that you would open up our hearts, you would open up our minds, you would open up our eyes to see what you see. Lord, we want to follow after you. I pray this in your name. Amen. You know, at first glance, when I read this passage of Scripture, I couldn't help but think that Nathanael felt like that guy, right? Philip comes to him and says, "Hey, we found him. We found the Messiah, the one you're looking for." And Nathanael's immediate response is, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Now, that in and of itself was a misnomer because Jesus wasn't originally from Nazareth. He was from Bethlehem, of the line of David. And so there was a preconceived notion on Nathanael's part that was incorrect. But immediately he goes to a place of judgment. Can anything good come from there? I mean, immediately in my mind goes to some judgment places. I've had these very similar thoughts before. I know you've never had them before. Ever. You are the least judgmental people on planet Earth. Can anything good come from there? Fill in the blank. Immediately, some things should pop in your head. And then as soon as he meets Jesus, we got some laughter over here. The person who laughs the hardest owns it the most. Immediately when Jesus sees him, he calls him a true Israelite. Nathanael, how in the world, how do you know me? "I saw you when you were sitting under the fig tree." Immediately, this was my initial thought. Immediately, Nathanael's got to think, "Oh goodness, he saw me under the tree. Did he hear me think and say, Who in the world can come from Nazareth? My first initial thought was, this is the open mouth insert foot. This is who Nathanael is. I know none of you have ever had that experience before, where you've been in the middle of conversation, in mid-conversation, and all of a sudden, everybody around you gets really, really quiet, and you realize the one of whom you speak is standing right behind you. I know this has never happened to you before. But immediately, everybody just kind of hushes up, and they're behind me, aren't they? And you turn around, hi! I swear, I was not talking about you. I was talking about the other Frank who lives on that street in your house. And so, I mean, from the very beginning, my initial thought is, all right, this is just a guy who got caught. And he's kind of stuck because Jesus is magic. So over the top, he goes over the top. Son of man, king of Israel. He just wants to, let me just make it all better. Let me flower him with all kinds of good stuff. And maybe he'll forget about the fact that I said, who is this guy? He's nothing. Maybe it's a little deeper than that. When I looked up this story, when we're planning like our sermon stuff together, I have a little team. We get together every Tuesday and we look at the passage of scripture. We do all kinds of research together. We talk about the one from the previous week. We look at the one coming up, and then we look towards the future, and we get together and we own this. So we do a lot of study on the passage, and then we looked at what other people are saying. There is so much stuff written about this tiny little passage, and everybody's got some kind of opinion on this guy Nathanael. There's books, like books, on these couple verses, and so you got to whittle through all that. And this is the piece that really sank in for me, and it could be because I'm just kind of internalizing this, and I'm trying to cast Jesus' vision into my soul and figure out what does Jeff need to clear away so that the king of the universe can see what he wants to see. And so then in return, I can go and I can look out. This is what I see. I see 43 and 45. He sees people, and they are prompted to see others. Jesus saw Philip, and immediately there was something inside of Philip that was like, come follow me. That's all Jesus needed to say to Philip. Okay. Immediate response, just like this morning. Jesus, hey guys, come follow me. All right, let's do it. There were some of us that were like, I don't know. The water could be really cold. What am I going to do then? Philip jumps right on it. And what does he do? He's prompted to pull somebody else with him. Immediately he goes and finds his buddy. Nathanael, here's the one. Come on, let's go. Let's see him. He draws people to himself. He woos us. He's wooing you. I don't know if you've ever heard that word before, woo. It's a drawing. It's a courtship. He's pulling you to himself. And when we don't see what Jesus sees, we're keeping people from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus woos people to himself. 46 to 47, Nate immediately falls into this place of judgment. Can anything good come from there? I don't know how many times in my life throughout this sanctification process of Christ trying to make me more like him, where I haven't stopped for a second and made a judgment call that was completely incorrect. Jesus says there was nothing certainly bad with inside of Nathanael, yet he still responds, can anything good come from there? Nate responds with judgment. Jesus responds with love and truth. He focuses on the soul. We've said this over and over and over again through this series. If we could push away the facade, the outward appearance, if we could push all that aside and just have our eyes see what Jesus sees, this world would be a completely different place. if we would own this. Can we follow him into this? In 48 to 49, we see he sees what we need, and we can't help but respond. And this is a pattern of Jesus over and over and over again. Spirit and truth, spirit and truth, spirit and truth, spirit and truth. There's such a balance to what Jesus sees. He never goes way over here or way over there. He hones right in to what is absolutely necessary with inside that person. And he owns it. He sees spirit and truth. Let me come back to that in a second. This happens all the time. We see the miracle, and he sees the miracle maker, who is himself. Immediately on hearing Nathanael hearing Jesus say, "I saw you while you were under the fig tree," it takes on so many different connotations. Oftentimes when people would, at this time when they would sit and they would focus on the fact of the Messiah, the one who would come and save the world, they would sit under a fig tree. They would contemplate the things of the world. They would contemplate the great truths. They were waiting and yearning and wanting this guy to come who would rescue them. And Jesus says, "I saw you in your prayer, in your focus, in your desire to see the Messiah come. I saw you in that place." And immediately, Nathanael just went, like, he is overwhelmed by the miraculous. Son of man, King of Israel. He's overwhelmed by the miracle. And Jesus immediately brings him back to the place. "You thought that was amazing. You will see the heavens open. You'll see angels descending on the Son of Man." We see the miracle, he sees the miracle maker. He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is what I see in this passage of Scripture. He sees through the religious facade. This is a hard one for me. It is easy for me to look out at the world and see somebody who is not yet a believer and go, "Man, I want that person. I want that person to see Christ. I want them to see this guy that I know and I understand." And it's very difficult. For me to look internal. And see the focus on truth and the focus on the religious experience. Jesus cuts right through all that. He cuts through all the religiosity and he goes right to the core of who he is. I've been the guy in my life who was completely consumed with trying to understand this book. Memorized all the verses so I could give the right response. So I could use this book to win an argument. And I've run as far as I could from that. And so when I see other people who use the Word of God to win an argument, there's something that goes on in my soul, this turmoil that takes place within inside of me. Then immediately I want to go to the place of, "You are completely missing the point. You're missing the point." Remember early on when I wanted to get into ministry, my whole desire, my whole hope on getting into ministry was to help people understand what Christ was for and not what he was against. to help people understand what the church was for and not what he's against. And we have story after story after story in the world of Christians misrepresenting. It happens over and over and over again. You've got a guy in the pulpit who loves Jesus, and he's got this huge ministry, and all kinds of people are coming to Christ, and his personal life is completely out of whack. He's on television, or he's in the news, and he's saying all these kind of great things, and all of a sudden you find out he's cheating on his spouse. And there's something inside of me just wants, And then on the flip side, we have God doing all these amazing, miraculous things all over the world. And there's some of us that hunger and yearn for the things of God. Because he's a miraculous God. He's the star maker. And when we see those things, we long for them. I've seen people who are bound by a wheelchair be prayed over and get out of the wheelchair and start walking. And there's something inside of me that goes, yes, that's amazing, that's awesome, that's magical. And hunger and thirst after the miraculous and completely miss the point. One time I was watching somebody be prayed over. These people were praying over this little girl. And everything that was coming out of their mouths did not sit right with my soul whatsoever. And everything inside of me just wanted to turn around and grab them and shake them to the core and go, what in the world are you thinking? I look down and look at this girl in complete turmoil and complete pain and complete frustration. And I've seen the opposite of that. Last year at Holy Spirit Weekend, God did some amazing, ridiculous stuff. Some crazy, ridiculous things. Some things that I had never seen or experienced before, and quite honestly, very judgmental of. One of my favorites was Martin was praying for somebody over here in the corner. He said, Jeff, can you come over? I need a second set of ears to listen to this girl's story. So I came over and I listened and I thought, man, this is, all right, I think I have a grasp on this. There was a lot of inner pain, a lot of turmoil, you know, a rough background, a rough family life. I thought, all right, I think I understand, Martin. So I started praying over this girl, and I said, Lord Jesus, I just ask that you would meet her where she's at, that you would help her to understand who she is in Christ, that she is loved by you, that you she can feel your presence, that you are real to her. And as I was praying, I was looking at her instead of bowing my head and closing my eyes and doing the good church thing. And I realized her face was just absolutely blank, and she wasn't receiving any of this prayer. And I just stopped. Martin had left at this point. He left me there. I yelled at him later. I said, "What's the matter? Why are you not receiving this prayer?" And she goes, "I don't understand. I hear what you're saying, but I don't hear what you're saying." And I closed my eyes and I got this picture. Stay with me. I got this picture of pink earmuffs on her ears. I know, I'm crazy, I'm weird. Overthinking this. And I said, can I just pray one more thing for you? Can I pray one more thing for you? And she goes, sure. And I said, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would knock the earmuffs off her ears so that she can hear the things that you desire for her to hear. And immediately she passed out. And I had to reach out and grab her and lay her to the ground. I thought it was being punked. If I'm honest, I thought like somebody was like, this was all planned. Hey, let's freak out Pastor Jeff. Let's make him look like an idiot. And I laid her down on this carpet square over there, and I looked around, and I found Maddie was sitting over here, and Edna was over on this side, and I was like, help me! And they came over, and they just sat with her, and I walked away, and I was like, okay, Lord, time out. What in the world was that? And then it happened to me 3 more times that day. I prayed over somebody, and they just falls. I'm like, what is going on? Like, I thought there was this big conspiracy against Pastor Jay. Hey, let's make him look like a weirdo. And I went back, like, 10 minutes later, she finally comes up. She's got this huge smile on her face. And she's sitting there in the front pew, and I said, how are you doing? She's like, what was that? I said, I have no idea. I don't have a frame of reference for this whatsoever. At which Rob Reamer's response was, Theology 303, God is weird and he does weird things, but it's okay because he's God. And I said, well, how do you feel? And she's like, great. I've never experienced peace like that. I never experienced God's peace like that before. All this junk in my life, and I just feel like the God of the universe just wrapped me up and loved on me and gave me this huge hug. And I walked away going, God, that was strange. And I immediately started thinking about, oh, God. And I started to focus. I'm just being honest with you. I started focusing on the cool thing that God did to allow this girl to experience the peace that she'd never experienced before. And immediately, I went to the miraculous and completely forgot that it was God who wanted to show this girl what peace really was like. Church, we're completely missing the point. We're completely missing the point when we sit there and we focus so much on the words of God that we forget the word of God. And we are completely, completely missing the point when we focus on the miracles of God and forget the miracle maker. It is out of balance. In order for the church to move forward, in order for the world to see what God sees, in order for the world to understand the God of the universe, this thing has got to be balanced. We have to put on the eyes of Christ and see the truth of his word. And we have to put on the eyes of Christ and see the miraculous thing that he does and keep that thing in alignment. We got to throw off the judgment piece and judging those people within inside the church who are so focused. Jeff, you got to throw off the judgment piece of those people in church that only care about the word of God. And Jeff, you got to throw off the judgment piece of those people who only see the miraculous of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You have to see them at their heart, mind, and soul. So we can bring this thing into balance so that the world can see the true God, the God maker, the star maker, the God of the universe. I want to give us some uncomfortable moments of silence. The next 2 minutes is going to be some of the longest 2 minutes of your entire life. I want you to sit right now, and I'm going to ask the Lord to do some business with you guys. You're going to want to close your eyes for this one. This isn't a bow your head, close your eyes, prayer kind of thing. This is, hey, I want to do some spiritual surgery. If it is your prayer, if it is your desire to see what Christ sees, Jesus, I ask that you would show us the judgmental pieces of our religiosity where we judge people who only see the truth. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would do some surgery in us when we judge those who only see the miraculous and completely miss the word that you would make us kings and queens of balance to help our brothers and sisters see what Jesus sees. Lord Jesus, if we are only people who see the truth and don't see the amazing things that you want us to see, change us, transform us. Lord Jesus, if we were only people that see the miraculous in you and miss your truth and miss the truth of your word. Convict us, Lord, we pray. Lord, Father, we have searched our hearts, we have searched our minds. There's some things you desire for us to change as we move forward. Lord, I pray now as we have done business with you, that we would not stay in this place, that we would walk forward in balance, seeing you and others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The team's going to come back up. There's no going back. It's done. We've dealt with it. Would you stand? And let's sing in response together.